Good afternoon. We are going to talk about today a question concerning Yud Gimel Ikarim generally, namely, what happens if someone does not believe in Yud Gimel Ikarim Emunah? However, he comes to that conclusion, Rahmana Litzlan, by mistake. Let's say, for example, he comes to that conclusion based on a misunderstanding of the psukim. He believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a physical body because he read the psukim or the midrashim literally. And the question is, what is the status of such a person? This is commonly known as a machlokas Rambam Ravid. I'm sure all of you have heard of the famous Reb Chaim, Nebuchadnezzar's Achlatanapikaris, and that's the topic that we're going to do today. We'll take a step back and briefly introduce what the Yud Gimel Ikarim are, not what they say, but the notion, and then we'll jump into that, and we're going to present Be'ezras Hashem four possible ways to understand the Rambam. And admittedly, this is a very difficult topic. It's a topic that I am not so sure about the correct approach, which is why I'm going to present different approaches to you. They're not really my approaches. I'm going to show you how they're makoros for each of these approaches. I want to acknowledge, before we begin, Rabbi Rafi Stoll. We're privileged to have the world's expert in Yud Gimel Ikarim Emunah in our yeshiva. Rafi, I'm just very I'm relieved that he decided not to come, because it would be embarrassing to talk about this in front of him. But certainly, I'm going to tell you a little bit later what he, at least what I understand him, his position is. I want to acknowledge at the onset his help in the preparation for this chabura. So let's begin. The Rambam, of course, in Perusha Mishnayos, says that there are 10 basic principles that every Jew must believe in, and he concludes that, this is the first makor, v'kasher yu kayamim la'adam kol ha'yesodos halalu ve'emunaso behem amitis, harei hu nichnas b'chlal Yisrael. If someone believes in these 13 things, so then they're a Jewish person. V'chova la'ahava u'lilachmo la'lav, v'choma sh'tziva Hashem osanu ze al ze min ha'ava ve'achva afilu asa mashiyachol lios min ha'averos machmas tavaso v'skabros yitzro hara. So if someone believes in these 13 things, but he sins in other ways, he doesn't keep kosher or the like because of taiva, or even worse, so he's a Jewish person who has sinned, and he'll get punished for his sins. However, Kasher yifakfek adam b'yisod me'elu ha'yisodos harei ze yatsa min haklal v'kafer v'ikar v'nikra min v'apikoris v'kotzitz v'netios v'chova l'snoso u'lehashmido v'alav hu omer halo misanecha Hashem esna. Whereas if someone denies one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim Emunah, says the Rambam, then he's a kofer, he has no chelak in olam haba, and the like. So that's the basic Chiddush of the Rambam. The Chiddush of the Rambam is not just simply that there are Yud Gimel Ikarim Emunah, that they're basic principles of faith, but the Rambam seems to go much further than that. The Rambam seems to say that not only are there such a thing as Ikarim Emunah, but someone who denies any of these Ikarim Emunah, no matter what, is a kofer, ein lo chelak l'olam haba, is not b'chlal Yisrael, etc., etc. So first of all, where does the Rambam get this from? So the Pashup Shat is the Rambam gets this from the Mishnah. In fact, the Mishnah that he's commenting on, the Mishnah says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak liolam haba, shenemar v'amech kulam tzadikim liolam yirshu aretz neitzer matayim maasei adai lispa'er." Starts off, "Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak liolam haba." However, the song might end there, but not the Mishnah. "Ve'elu she'en lam chelak liolam haba, ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesem min ha'torah." Ve'ein tor min hashamayim, ve'apikores, etc., etc. Meaning to say, the Mishnah says that people who have these heretical beliefs, For example, someone who denies that there is such a thing as Trias HaMesim, or even someone who denies that Trias HaMesim is Min HaTorah, even if he acknowledges that it exists, Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. Now, it doesn't make any sense that it would. The Mishnah only mentions a couple of examples, like Ein Trias HaMesim Min HaTorah, or Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, or Apikores. However, the Rambam presumably argues that there's no reason why it should be limited to those three things stated in the Mishnah. Obviously, if someone who says there's no Trias HaMesim in HaTorah has no Chelek L'Olam Haba, then it stands to reason that someone who says that Hashem doesn't exist also has no Chelek L'Olam Haba, or the like. And therefore, the Rambam goes ahead and codifies these 13 things. They appear here in the Perasha Mishnayos. They also appear in Hilchos Tshuva, with maybe some minor differences. And that is the basis for the Rambam. How exactly he picked these 13 is a fascinating question, one which is beyond the scope of today's shiur. Why is, for example, Mashiach part of it? Is a very, very important question, but not for now. So these are Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna, and it's clear from Chazal that this concept that lack of belief causes a lack of Olam Haba is clear, is explicit. It's not the invention of the Rambam, like everything in the Rambam, and certainly this is a very strong and clear makor in Chazal. What the Rambam did was the Rambam codified a list. The Rambam was the first to say, these are the principles. No one before had, as far as I know, had actually made a list of Ikarei Emuna, but in many ways what the Rambam is doing here is doing what he does in many places, which is organize, just like in Mishneh Torah. In Mishneh Torah, there was no one before the Rambam who went ahead and codified all the halachos that appear in Shas and the Midrashei Halacha and the like and put them in a clear and organized fashion. So too, what he went ahead and he took the Mekoros and he gleaned from the various places and put them together in a list. And thus, there are Mekoros for the Rambam. The Rambam quotes Psukim and the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna. If you look at the Mefarshim, for example, on the Mishneh Torah, just like the Mefarshim for all the Halachos, the Nosei Kelim, show the Mekoros for the Rambam and Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, so they do so for here as well. Just, again, to make clear, because there have been people that have imagined otherwise, the Rambam here is not a chiddush in the sense that there should be Ikar Yemuna. That's clear from the Mishnah. The Rambam was the first to organize that, but again, just like no one would say that the Rambam invented the notion of halacha just because he systematized halacha, so too the Rambam did not invent the notion of Ikar Yemuna just because he systematized them, he organized them. In the case of halacha, the Rambam was responding to a challenge. The Rambam writes in his Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah that why am I writing this book? Because I look around and I see all sorts of people don't know how to follow the halacha, don't know how to determine the halacha, the Aramaic and the Gemara is too difficult, they don't know how to read the Kisvei Geonim, and therefore I'm going ahead and writing a work which is meant to solve those problems so that everybody's able to figure out the halacha. So too, that's what he does over here. He may have been responding to the challenges that were prevalent in his age. The Rav Kook has a very beautiful letter that he says that one of the milos, if there's such a thing, of kfira, is that it forces ma'aminim to respond, to offer a refutation, to defend our faith, and that oftentimes makes matters much more clear for us. And the same thing might have been taking place as well, because there were all sorts of challenges during the time of the Rambam, as the Rambam writes, so therefore he responds. In fact, it sounds like from a line in Igeres Trias HaMesim that one of the motivations in choosing these 13 is because these were specifically things that were challenged, that were denied. So that is the idea of Ikar Yemuna. So now we can turn to our question, and that is, what about if someone makes a mistake and therefore denies it? So the Ravid very famously makes this point. This is the Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva, Paragimel Halacha Zayin. the second source in Yerushit, Amar Avram, V'lama kara l'zeh min. Why is it that someone who denies the incorporeality of God, who believes that God either has a body or can take on the form of a body, is a min, a heretic? Why? V'kama gdol metovim imenu holchu b'zu ha-machshava l'fima shera'u b'mikraos v'yoser mima shebo b'divrei shera'u b'divrei ha-agados ha-mishab shos ha-sadeos. They're great people. Perhaps this is a little bit of hyperbole when he says gdolim imenu, but certainly they were great people who seem to have accepted this position. And what caused them to come to this position? The psukim. There are many psukim that imply his gashmus, that imply corporeality of God. If you translate them literally, it sounds like God came up, came down, which is a property of a physical being. And moreover, even more problematic, the Ravid says, are certain divrei agada. If you look at the Or Zarua, when he talks about this, it's referenced by the Or Sameach on this halacha. He says, he gives examples. The Rabbeinu Hananel gives examples of agados that cause people to get confused. The example Rabbeinu Hananel brings is the Gemara that talks about the tefillin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears. So someone understands that literally. So that would imply that he has a body. And these types of things lead to mistakes. And this was a prevalent position at the time among the masses. That's clear from the Rambam. That's why the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mor Nevuchim, that's my purpose of this book. The purpose of the Mor Nevuchim is to go through the places in the Torah which seem to imply problematic things from the perspective of philosophy, and especially his gashmus. And I'm going to show you how the correct interpretation of the psukim does not lead to that conclusion, which is untenable philosophically. And there's a famous correspondent between Rav Daniel and the son of the Rambam about this belief, and it sounds like he believes at least in the possibility of God taking on a physical form. So the Ravid's kasha seems to be a very strong kasha. There are great people that came to this conclusion. They don't seem to be at fault. It's not their fault. How did they come to this conclusion? They read the Gemaras and they understood them literally. They read the Psukim and they understood them literally. How could we fault them? How could we say, Ein lam chel ke olam haba? And therefore, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. We'll see shortly that the Rambam himself addresses this point explicitly. The position of the Ravid is stated by many people in different ways. If you look at the Chovos Halvavos, for example, in the third source at the bottom of page 1, the Chovos Halvavos says here, it's Shar HaYichud, the end of Shar HaYichud, and Shar HaYichud, the Chovos Halvavos, like the Rambam, maintains that belief in God, at least in the most ideal sense, should be based off of proof, and like the Sefer HaChinuch, like the Rambam, holds that at least mitzvah min ha-muvchar, one should try to prove the existence of God, not just believe based off of Kabbalah. And he says that if you're able to do that, great. That is the approach you should take. And if you're able to come to correct conclusions, and you don't, then indeed you're a heretic, and you've made a terrible mistake. But v'aksil ha-pesi achshov ha-boreis borach al derech ha-nireh mimelitza sa-sefer, Ukshu mekubal al atzmo avodas alokav, v'hu mishtadel asos lechvodo, yesh lo taina gdola mitzad p'tiyuso v'miyot havanaso, mipnei she'en ha'adam nitba ela kefi yecholto, v'hasagaso b'sichlo, v'havanaso v'kocho umimono, ela. In other words, a person could only do their best, right? Everybody is given kelim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if I am someone who tries my best, but don't come to the correct conclusion, I'm not so smart, I can't conceive of a totally non-physical being, or I don't see why one would say that, or I don't see why you wouldn't understand the psukim kipshutam, or the like. If someone goes ahead and they're simply not smart enough, so then they're certainly excused. Who isn't excused? Ela shaksil k'she'efsher lo lilmod, nitba aleha v'ne'enash al asher kitzer v'amad melilmod. If, however, someone is capable of learning and they nevertheless are lazy or do not do what they're capable of doing, so then they're held accountable, then they're held responsible. And the conclusion is certainly very mistaber. It's mityashev al alev. We have to do our best. If we do our best, so then, like everything else, we say, onus rachmana patre, if I make a mistake and I come to the wrong conclusions, then I'm excused. And if we say onus rachmana patre for everything else, why shouldn't we say onus rachmana patre binogeya liikari emuna? And thus, there are many thinkers that made this point explicitly. Turn to the top of page 2, Tshuvas HaRadvaz. There was a certain darshan, a person who was giving drashos, and he said things that were keneged the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. And the Radvaz writes, Lo matzasi tam lepotro min haonesh, zulas mipnei shehutoa bi'iuno v'takanaso kilkalto. In other words, he made a mistake. V'lo adif hai mimi shetoa be'echad mikar yadas machmas iuno hanifzad shelo nikra b'shvil zeh kofer. He takes for granted the position of the Ravid, that someone who goes ahead and makes a mistake based off of his misinterpretation is not called a kofer. V'harei Hillel haya adam gadol v'ta be'echad mikar yadas she'amar ein lahem Mashiach liYisrael shekvar achluhu b'yamei Chizkiyahu. Here he's referring to the position of Hillel Sheni. It's not the famous Hillel, but the later Hillel, who writes in Masechta Sanhedrin that there is not going to be a Mashiach. The prophecies describing the coming of Mashiach already took place during the time of Chizkiyahu. Now, just to note, if you look at Rashi, that doesn't mean to say that he doesn't believe in the redemption. That's clear. That's Psukim, right? Parshas Nitzavim, and elsewhere, clearly he believed that there was going to be a kibbutz galios and a redemption, where restoration of Malchus Yisrael and the Melucha of Hashem, but he maintained that the character, the person, that there would be an individual, the Melech HaMashiach who's going to lead everybody back, and the like, those psukim were talking about Chizkiyahu, and they are no longer going to happen. But the point is that you see here that a great Amora, someone who we certainly accept, he's the one who made our calendar, right? Everybody would agree he's a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham, less man de Palag, he says that he has a chelek in Olam Haba, and yet he denied one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. Why? Because he was misled, he misunderstood the psukim. So we don't fault such a person, we don't consider such a person a kofer, we consider them mistaken, but not a kofer. So the Radvaz says, so too this fellow, this guy who made a mistake, who made these drashos that were against the Ikar Emunah. Now, of course, this opens up a very interesting question. The Chassam Sofer and others deal with it, which is there a possibility of evolution in terms of Ikar Emunah? Perhaps after somebody, after something was universally accepted by Klal Yisrael, then rejection of that principle would be a kfira. If somebody claimed nowadays that there's no such thing as Mashiach, so then that would be kfira. But at the time of Hillel Sheni, it was still somewhat of an open question. It wasn't clear. Certainly, there's room for such a possibility. But the point is, Lamaisa, at least the Radvaz, deduces that anyone who makes a mistake, again, like the Ravid, based on a faulty interpretation, is not considered a kofer. If Hillel was a kofer, he uses the term ones, ones rachmana patre. The Karim in Mamar Rishon Perek Beis comes to a very similar conclusion. And others afterwards, there's a beautiful letter from Rav Kook where he's defending someone who was a pilloried for his Zionistic beliefs. So he says, okay, I understand you think that Zionism is wrong, but how could you call him a kofir? You know, he made a mistake. He's logara from someone who denies an ikar emuna based off of a misunderstanding. So this person, he came to a misunderstanding based off of his learning of the Makoros. So you could call him mistaken, but don't call him a kofir. So this is seemingly a very reasonable position, and the question that we have to deal with is, what is the Rambam going to respond to this charge? How will he answer this question? Is he indeed denying this? So the approach that everybody, again, is familiar with for the Rambam is the idea of Reb Chaim, Nebuch HaNapikaris, Achat HaNapikaris. What does that mean? The simple understanding, at least, of that idea is that Nebuch HaNapikaris, it's true, this person who believes that God has a physical body, Rachman al-Itzlan, came to that position. They're indeed onus. Nebuch, poor guy. How'd they come to that conclusion? Because they read the Gemara's literally. Nebuch, it's not their fault. Taka, they are ones. We're not saying they're not ones. No, they are ones. Nebuch and Apikaris. But it's Achat and Apikaris. They too are an Apikaris. It's not their fault. But we distinguish between Ikari Amunah and other mitzvos. When it comes to mitzvos, so then we have a principle of ones Rachmana Patre. But when it comes to Amunas Videos, or at least the Ikari Amunah, so then we don't say that. That is the position of the Reb Chaim. And the question is, why would that be? Why should Ikari Emunah be different than everything else? If, with respect to all other Averos, we say, Ones Rachmana Patre, then why is it that we treat Ikari Emunah differently? And as I said, about that point, we're going to offer four possible Mahalchim in the Rambam, some which accept Reb Chaim, and some which disagree with Reb Chaim and understand the Rambam differently. But first, a raya, seemingly, to Reb Chaim, and a place where the Rambam actually seemingly explicitly addresses the question of the Ravid. The Reb Chaim, the raya is from Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Aleph, the end of Perek Lamed Vav, where he writes, bottom of page 2, V'ata da, shekol zman shetehe b'datcha gashmos o me'ora mi'me'oros haguf, Hinrach mekane umach is vekodeach esh chama v'sonei v'oye v'tzar yoser chamer mi'ovet avodah zarah b'harbe. Wow. Belief in the corporeality of God, Rachmana Litzlan, is much worse than avodah zarah. Why is it worse than avodah zarah? So he explains in that earlier in that chapter that Avodah Zarah is worse, is much worse. This is much worse than Avodah Zarah for the following reason. Avodah Zarah, as we know from the Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, at least in its earlier stages, is basically serving God through intermediaries. It's, how did Avodah Zarah start? People believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they had difficulty relating to an abstract, or I should say non-physical God, something that you can't see or touch or feel, and therefore they served intermediaries, and through the intermediaries they were hoping to serve God. Or as others point out, that these intermediaries, let's say malachim, are themselves great and amazing things. They have tremendous das and the like, and therefore desire in a certain sense is serving God through intermediaries. So you could still have a correct conception of God and be an ovid avodah zarah. The typical Ovid Avodah Zarah is not someone who takes this little stone statue and thinks, this is God. This little stone statue is that which created everything and is the source of all existence and the like. Well, most Ovid Avodah Zarah aren't that stupid. But so what is it, though? They serve God through intermediaries. So they might actually, to some degree, have a correct conception of God. However, they are in their method of service. And thus, in that sense, the Ovid Avodah Zarah is not as bad as the person who believes in the Hisgashmus, the corporeality of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? Because the person who believes in the corporeality of God does not actually believe in God. Because the God that they believe in does not exist. This is what the Rambam writes about in the 60th chapter of the first section of the Mor Nevuchim. What are they doing? They're serving a God that does not exist. L'mashal l'mahadavar domeh. If I go ahead and I say that the word dog is associated with an animal that has four legs and a tail and barks and has fur, so that's what the dog is. I could go ahead and if I say now the word dog is associated with a creature that has three heads and is transparent and floats in the sea and talks like a person, so now it's the what happened? So I believe in a dog, but that dog that I believe in doesn't exist. So I believe in nothing, right? That which I believe in doesn't exist. So someone who goes ahead, the Rambam says, and believes in God, but believes that God has a physical body of some sort, does not believe in God. The thing that they believe in is not God, and thus they believe in nothing. And in that sense, what they're doing is much, much worse than the Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Because the Ovid of Avodah Zarah may have a correct understanding of God, but they simply serve him in a terrible fashion. But the person who believes in the physicality of God, Rahmana Litzlan, does not actually believe in God. What they think they believe in is not God, and thus they believe in nothing. And the Rambam continues. V'im ya'aleh b'datcha sh'yesh l'lmod z'chus al ma'aminei ha'gashmos b'shel ha'yoso chunach kach o machmas z'chluso v'kotzer ha'sagaso. Oh, but the Ravitz taina. It's not his fault. This is the way he was trained. Or he's not so smart. He's not so intelligent. And thus he comes to the wrong conclusion. Or his rebbeim in school taught him this. Kach ra'ui l'chal yos b'deya b'oved avodah zarah mipnei she'ein oved ela machma sichlos o chinuch minag avosim b'yadam the Gemara in Chulin, right? So you're going to say the same thing about oved avodah zarah? Nobody thinks that someone's oved avodah zarah, you know, but because he was chunach kach, obviously they're a kofer, seemingly the Rambam saying. So likewise, someone who goes ahead and has an incorrect conception of the Ribbono Shel Olam, namely, they imagine that he has a guf, Rachmana Litzlan, so they too are like someone who is Ovid Avodah Zarah. And just like, at least seemingly, what he's saying here is just like we don't say Ones Legabe Avodah Zarah because he was Chunach Kach, so too we don't say Ones Legabe this because it was Chunach Kach. Vim Tomar. Pashte ki pashte aksuvim hipilum b'shibushim elu. Okay, but it's one thing to say chunach kach, but here it's the Torah himself, the Torah itself that led to his misunderstanding, right? The Ravitz taina, the pashte psukim. Kach teda she'oved avodah zarah lo hiviu la'avodah la'avda ki im dimyonos umusagim gruim. So think with Avodah Zarah. It's true, the Psukim themselves wouldn't have brought you to Avodah Zarah. But it's your imagination. It's your false conceptions that led you to Avodah Zarah. And so too with respect to his Gashmas. Nimtza she'ein hisnatzlus l'mi she'eino somech al bale ha'iyon ha'amitiyim im hayak tzas katzer yecholes iyunis. Ve'eni choshev l'kofer mishelo hocheach lo shlilos hagashmos achoshev ani l'kofer mishelo kovea bedato shlilosa. I don't consider a kofer someone who doesn't understand the proof for the incorporeality of God. Indeed, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim goes ahead and proves that God does not have a guf. And he offers a philosophical proof. It's inconceivable. He more or less says it b'kitzer in the Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah as well. So, someone who doesn't understand the proof, so they're not a philosopher. I could forgive them. I don't think they're a kofer. But someone who has the wrong conception, they are a kofir. Now here the Rambam seems to be saying the following. Why are they not excused? They're not excused because, right, she'ain hisnatzlus, they have no excuse. Why? Because they should have been somech al balei ha'iyun ha'amitiyim. In other words, they should have relied on people that are smart, on the balei ha'iyun ha'amitiyim. Now, what does he mean here? So here, I think, he's saying as follows, very important point. The Rambam's saying, how do I know that God doesn't have a guf? It's not because I'm a philosopher. It's not based off of, I mean, indeed it could be proven through philosophy, but it's not just like the philosophers made this up. But this is bread and butter Torah, right? The anyone who learns Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum will know that Unkelus goes ahead and takes every single example of his Gashmus and gets rid of it. And whether you learn that that's his motivation as the Rambam, or he had more mystical motivations like the Rambam, Lamaisa, he does it. If you learn Targum Yonus and Ben Uziel, if you learn Chumash properly, so you're going to say, but I didn't look at Unkelus. Well, then that's your fault. But don't blame us. We gave you Unkelus. You're a Pasha Tayyid. You do Shnai Mikra. You'll know. Don't pretend that you have an excuse. Even more, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Hare mefurish b'Torah v'Neviim she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu guf u'gvia she'namar ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokim b'shamayim mima'al ve'aretz mitachas v'haguf lo yeh b'shnei mekomos. It's psukim mefurashim. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shamayim u'v'aretz, and that it tells us clearly that he doesn't have a guf. Sorry, I didn't put these in. V'namar ki lo re'isem kol t'muna v'namar ve'al mi t'damyuni v'ashavei, who could you compare me to? V'ilu haya guf And these are not just the Rambam, but the Torah himself goes ahead again and again and warns against them. The Torah is telling us that you did not see an image because I don't have an image. In other words, the psukim warn against this. It's not just philosophy. If it was just philosophy, then perhaps we could excuse such a person. But it is our Mesorah. To go further, the Rambam writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't have positive attributes. That contradicts Achdus Hashem. Achdus Hashem implies absolute simplicity. Absolute simplicity means that they can't have characteristics, because positive attributes contradict simplicity in the sense that they imply that there's God plus his characteristics. We won't get into details about that. So let's say someone, that also means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't have emotions, right? So now, somebody might say, I was talking to some of the chevra about this a month or so ago. So somebody might say, one second, if you go ahead, let's go back to what we said before from Chelek Aleph Perek Samech of Mor Nevuchim said someone who has an incorrect conception of God does not actually believe in God, because they believe in something else that doesn't exist. So does that mean that someone who believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has positive traits, who has emotions, is not actually serving God? At first glance, that would seem to be the reasonable conclusion, because saying God has a body is in contradiction to Achdus Hashem, and saying God has positive emotional traits is in contradiction of Achdus Hashem. And yet, it's obvious that one is a kofir and one is not a kofir. And if you'll say, no, maybe the Rambam would consider someone who believes that God has emotions is also a kofir, the Rambam himself tells us that is not true, because the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and imply things that are somewhat false for a purpose. This is in Chela Gimel, chapter 28. He writes that scripture further demands belief in certain truths. The belief, sorry, this isn't in your Makoros also, the belief in which is indispensable for the sake of political welfare. For example, the belief that God is angry with those who disobey him, for it leads to fear and dread of disobedience of the will of God. So, basically, the Torah says, psukim, things like Hashem gets angry at those who violate the Torah. Now, anger implies emotions. God can't have emotions. So why does it say it? Because there's a certain political value in communicating that message, so people will be afraid to sin. And someone who knows what they're talking about will understand that that doesn't mean literally angry, because literal anger is not conceivable, klapei the Ribono Shel Olam. But as the Rambam says in that chapter, the Torah would never do that about something like Achdus Hashem. And that's because of the difference that we said before. When it comes to the incorporeality of God, we know that not through philosophy, but we know that through psukim. Mifurashim. We don't know that from the philosophers. We know that because we do Shnayim Mikra, and the Targum says it. We know that from the Pasuk that says, Unishmartem me'od l'nashusechem ki lo re'isem kol t'muna. So when it comes to something that we know based off of our Mesorah, based off of the Psukim, based off of Chazal, so then denial of that is kfira and inexcusable. The Rambam seems to be saying over here. Whereas when it comes to a philosophical error, someone who doesn't understand why positive attributes or emotions is in contradiction to Achdus Hashem, so such a thing is forgivable. That certainly does not make a person a kofer. It's not keneged yusod de hadas. Okay. So that's the Rambam on page 2. And this, again, would seem to support the position of Reb Chaim. In other words, the Rambam, again, to summarize what it says here in Chelek Aleph at the end of Perek Lamed Vav, the Rambam asks, he says, why is it that someone who believes in his gashmus, in the corporeality of God, is held accountable? He was misled from the psukim. To which the Rambam answers, well, you don't excuse an Ovid of Odazara for that, so too, we're not going to excuse this. So now let's go back to the basic yesod. So the question again is, what's pshat in the Rambam? Rambam says someone who denies any of the Yigam L'Karimuna, Ein Lo Chelek Lam Haba, is not part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael means believing those. It's true, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Lam Haba. That's if you're part of Klal Yisrael. That's the Stam. Someone who denies this doesn't. So, what happened to the Ravitz Kasha? So, we saw the Rambam dealing with the Ravitz Kasha, perhaps, Klape his Gashmas. But the problem is there's another 12. So, what do we deal with this? What do we do with this? So, the first approach to understanding the Rambam, this is the approach that I think many people take for granted, is the following. The Rambam says, indeed, someone who denies any of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna, Ein Lo Chelek Lam Haba, why is that? That's because of the Rambam's understanding of Olam Haba. The Rambam seems to have, again, a superficial reading of a number of sources indicates, a very intellectual understanding of Olam Haba, and focus one which focuses on intellectual achievement. For example, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Ches, Halachos Beis and Gimel writes, what is it, what do Chazal mean when they say, Tzadikim Yoshem Atlasem Yerosham Menenem Izim Avshchina, Kilomar Das Sheyedu Shebiglala Zachu L'chai Olam Haba Mitzuya Imahen. What is Olam Haba? The intellect that they acquired while they were on this world, that is what remains with them eternally. It says later on, right, what is, when we talk about the nefesh that exists in Olam Haba, the Rambam's position is that Olam Haba has no physical body, it's entirely spiritual, right? Ella Tsuras HaNefesh Hi Hadeya Shehisiga Me'abore Kefit Kocha Vehisiga Hadeos HaNefrados Veshar Maisen V'hiya Tsura Shebi'arnu Inyana Beperkavi Mehilchos Yisodei Torah Hiya Nikris Nefesh V'inyan Zeh in Chelek Gimel Perek Nun Dalet of Mor Nevuchim. He echoes this and he talks there about four types of perfection. And the fourth type of perfection is intellectual perfection. And he writes, Uvavura yizkel kiyumus hanitzchi. That's how a person has eternity, that's how a person gets Olam Haba. And thus, the Abarbanel, in this is on your, this is on the Makoro sheets, what I call the first approach, and this could be found in the Rosh HaManah, the chapter 12 by Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel, basically takes this approach to the Rambam. Why is it that someone who does not believe in Yid Gimli Kar Emunah has no chelek in Olam Haba? Aye, it's not his fault. Okay, it's true, it's not his fault, but Olam Haba is not this type of external reward. It's the natural consequence of intellectual perfection. And thus, someone who has not achieved intellectual perfection, or much less, has faulty apprehension, has a major mistake in their understanding of God or the like, so by definition, they can't get Olam Haba. I, onus rachmana patre, b'chol terkula, we always onus rachmana patre. The Abarbanel would say, no, that's not shayach over here. Onus rachmana patre is relevant when there's an onesh, right? If there's an onesh, an external, somebody goes ahead and they eat chazer, so now they get malchus. But if they're onus, if somebody stuffed it down their throat, so then we don't give them that onesh. Onus rachmana patre. But this isn't an onesh. The reason why they don't get Olam Haba is not because they're being punished. It's simply that it's by definition impossible because they haven't achieved that intellectual perfection that makes Olam Haba feasible. They haven't even reached the basic level which is necessary for Olam Haba, namely the belief in the Ikari Emunah. Now, there are a lot of problems with the approach. Problem number one is that when you read the Rambam more carefully and in other places, it's clear that this simplistic understanding of the Rambam's conception of Olam Haba, namely acquired intellect, is incorrect. The Rambam in many places writes all about Meisim. Famously, at the very end of the Sefer, he talks about the notion that the don't just think that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us is intellectual achievements. The pasuk says, "Kol Amar Hashem in Yirmiyahu Al Yisalal Chachavim LeChachmasov Ayisalal Gibor BeGvorasov Ayisalal Asher BeAshro Ki Mizos Yisalal Masalal Haskel VeYodeosi." So you think that's the greatest one, and it is. But then the pasuk continues, "Ki Ani Hashem Osachesed Mishpat Utzdaka Baaretz Kiva Eilach Abasti." What do I really want? Chesed Mishpat Utzdaka. And the Rambam writes that What is the pasuk saying? Ubir lanu b'zeh pasuk shepulos hahem sheroi sheyodu v'yasu b'hem heim chesed tzedakah mishpat. Now, if we had time, we would talk about the Rambam's position on this. But I gave a whole shiur on it a couple of weeks ago, if you want to listen. But it's not the simple understanding. The Rambam always talks about maisim. For example, when he talks about Olam Haba, the famous Perashat Mishnayos in Makos, in Hilchos Tshuva, he talks about how a person is judged based off of their maisim and the like. Obviously, the Rambam's position here is complex, and we don't have time to discuss it, but that's one problem that emerges from the Abarbanel, on the Abarbanel. And in fact, the Mishnah itself, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelech Olam Haba, no matter what, you don't need to be a Graisa philosopher, right? Just by being part of Kol Yisrael. The Gemara says that even Ktanim, even Tinokos have Olam Haba. They clearly don't have intellectual achievements. There's a discussion in the Gemara and Machlokas and Rachelak exactly what age when they say Amen or this or that, Ayin Sham. But okay, maybe the Rambam would paskin against that Gemara or interpret it differently. But it's a problem.
Nothing negative.
I'm sorry.
Negative.
Right, so that's fine. That's great. But if you have this understanding of the Rambam that it's not enough just to have nothing negative, but you have to have acquired this philosophical or intellectual understanding to get Olam Haba, so then the Gemara doesn't make any sense. You're able to, but you need to. In other words, I agree with you, but the point is the way that Abarbanel explains the Rambam, so it's not just you're able to, but you need to. That is what Olam Haba is. There's another problem. We'll say it like this. Another problem with this is, I understand why maybe you could say this pshat for things like belief in God. So you could say, okay, belief in God is necessary for Olam Haba, And even if you don't believe in God because some reason that isn't your fault, so then you can't get Olam Haba, because how could someone who doesn't believe in God have a chelek in Olam Haba? Fine. But what I still don't understand is how that makes any sense legabe something like belief in Mashiach, right? Remember, the Ikari Amuna include all sorts of things. Why should someone say, the Mishnah, why should they lose their chelek in Olam Haba? If they came to that conclusion based off of faulty reasoning, based off of misunderstanding of the Makoros, based off of legitimate causes, so why should we say that? In other words, this naturalistic explanation is not feasible for all of the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. So that leads us to approach 1B in the Rambam. We're going to have 1A, 1B, 2, and 3, if we have time. 1B goes ahead and says, no, we're going to be mechalek between different Ikari Amuna. Perhaps we'll distinguish between the first five and the latter eight. The Ikari Amuna that pertain to the basic conception of the Ribono Shel Olam, so those are absolutely imperative. It's inconceivable that one can't have Olam Haba without them. You'll say it's not his fault. No, the Rambam already answered that question. That was the passage in Mor Nevuchim that we read at the beginning. The passage in Mor Nevuchim said that you can't tell me it's not his fault, because it is his fault. The Psukim Hitohu, he should have looked at Unkelus. The Chazals caused him to be mistaken. What happened to the Psukim? Yishamer Lachem, right? Anybody is capable of figuring it out. Like we said before, it's not philosophy. It is Pshuto Shel Mikra. And therefore, there is no excuse. So, that's going to be true with respect to the basic conception of the Ribono Shel Olam. Someone with an incorrect conception of the Ribono Shel Olam couldn't possibly get Olam Haba. They davened every day, but they didn't daven to God. They davened to this fictitious being that sits on a throne in Shemayim. And therefore, in that case, we can't possibly exempt them. We can't say Onus Rachmana Patre. But regarding the later ones, we could. The Rambam doesn't allude to a chiluk like that. He seems to put all 13 together at the same time. I think that's a problem, but you could defend it with another passage in the Perush HaMishnayos, which is on your source books on page 5. This is from the Perush HaMishnayos in Chulin Perak Aleph. And here the Rambam introduces the concept of Tinok Shenishba, an idea that the Rambam says in many, many places. And this is very important for us, because another major kasha on the Abarbanel, perhaps a pircha on the Abarbanel, is the concept of Tinok Shenishba. What's a Tinok Shenishba? So the Rambam writes that just like we have a concept in Hilchos Shabbos, someone who's taken captive and doesn't know about Iker Shabbos has a certain halacha legabe karban chata, so too, someone, for example, who is a karai or a tzeduki, and they weren't part of that first generation or second generation that went off the derech, but they simply came to these beliefs because they were trained by their parents. So such a person is considered a tinok shenishba, and they're not treated like a heretic. Now, the tinok shenishba is indeed in violation of Ikari Amuna. Part of Ikari Amuna is not just belief in the Torah, but believing in the Mesorah, right? Like the Rambam says that part of one who says that an esrog isn't an esrog or isn't a priyat sadar is in violation of the Ikari Amuna. As he says in Hilchos Shuvah, it's machish magida. So how could you have the possibility of tinok shenishba when it comes to Ikari Amuna? So that's really a strong kasha in the Abarbanel. How could he say that? What the Abarbanel would presumably answer is no, tinok shenishba means you don't kill them, but it doesn't mean they have a chelek in Olam Haba. The problem is that the Rambam says explicitly that in that first passage that we read, that someone who denies any of these, you kill them. So clearly he's not talking about Tinok Shenishba. We'll get back to that point later. Be that as it may, but maybe we'll distinguish between the first five and the latter eight. And the Rambam might do this, because in discussing Tinok Shenishba, he writes, Einam minim lefi amunasam. In other words, we apply the term min to someone who's a Karaite, let's say, or a Tzeduki, that's not the technical definition of the term min, because min refers to the five categories of minim, someone like, say, who denies God or his Gashmas or the like. Rather, this is the colloquial usage of the word min. And aladinam le'inyan hariga kilomar. Okay. So what the Rambam might be saying here is that when it comes to the first five, we say that there's no such thing as tinok shenishba. When it comes to the latter eight, maybe there is such a concept of tinok shenishba. The problem with this approach, so that's 1b. 1b is Abar Binel, but klape the first five, let's say. The problem with approach 1b is, and this is that there's such a thing as avodah zarah b'shogeg, right? In other words, someone just, the Rambam says, okay, why am I getting so upset at the person who believes in his gashmus? Well, I'd also get very upset. It's obvious why you get upset at the person who's ovid avodah zarah. Well, 1 second, but there's such a concept of avodah zarah b'shogeg. So it's not true that someone, just because they have an incorrect interpretation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if it's inexcusable, is considered mazid, right? There is such a concept of shogeg. And you'll tell me, okay, shogeg, but not ones. But a tinok shenishba is also a shogeg. He has to bring a karbat, so maybe he only has to bring 1 chatas, not 100. But he's also a shogeg. So let's consider the second approach. Second approach is Rabbi Chanan. I wish we had time to give a whole hour's shiur on each of these four approaches, but we'll have to be makatzer now. Rabbi Chanan basically says that he has a different understanding of Rabbi Chaim, different than the classical understanding. Rabbi Chanan says, no, really wouldn't make sense to hold somebody accountable for something that's beyond their ability. Of course, we would say onus rachmana patre for everything if they're truly an onus. But when it comes to things like belief in God, anyone who is reasonable will come to the true conclusion. And that's why we could demand a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though someone as brilliant as Aristotle did not, because Aristotle was simply swayed by his taivos to come to a untenable and intellectually ungrounded position. He was brilliant. Okay, the more brilliant you are, the better excuses you could come up with. But it doesn't mean that it's any more true. Anyone who's honest will come to the correct conclusions. That's basically the approach of Rabbi Chanan. There have been those who said maybe that shouldn't apply nowadays in a world where this stamma de milsa is so heretical. Again, maybe we could talk about that another time. But that's basically Rabbi Chanan's approach. Rabbi Chanan says, no, it's not Nebuchadnezzar's achatanakarbikaris. It's not really Nebuchadnezzar's. It's his fault. And among other things, he proves this from the concept of tinok shenishba. Tinok shenishba. Now, the problem with Rabbi Chanan's approach is that this isn't so pashut. What happens if there is someone who really, and I guess Rabbi Chanan would say that's the pshat in that the passage from Perek Lamed Vav that we read at first, right? What's the Rambam saying? It's his fault. He should have read Targum. He should have read the psukim. You can't say, no, it's the psukim that misled him. No, a reasonable understanding of the psukim, a belief in Chazal, would have led to the correct conclusion. The third approach is perhaps the approach of the Chazon Ish. This is Rafi Stoll's approach, and again, I'm not going to have time to present it properly, but basically against Reb Chaim, totally. That, or different understanding of Reb Chaim, but against Reb Chaim. The point is, no, we actually hold of Onus Rachmana Patre for all Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna. And Vaharaya, like we said, there's such a thing as a shogeg even for Avodah Zarah. And not only that, but the concept of Tinok Shenishba proves it. Because Tinok Shenishba says, no, you deny one of the Ikari Emuna, so you're exempt. Aye, but how could you say this? I don't understand. Doesn't the Rambam write, the first source we did, doesn't the Rambam write, very beginning, someone who believes in these 13 things has Olam Haba, and someone who doesn't believe in these 13 things doesn't have Olam Haba. How could I say that you could have Olam Haba and deny any of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna as long as it's bonus? How is that possible? The Rambam says you need these 13 things. So the answer is no. The Rambam here in Pirshei Mishnayos is talking about Mezid. How do I know he's talking about Mezid? It's Tach Mefurish, because the Rambam here says that you kill him, right? And do you kill a Tinok Shenishba? No, at least not immediately. You do eventually, but not immediately. So it's clear then, Minei Ubei from the Rambam, that when he says this list, he is not talking about Shogeg or Ones or automatic. He's talking about Mezid. And if he's talking about Mezid, then Minayin Lanu, that someone who denies any of the Yud Gimli Karim Ones or B'Shogeg has no Chelek and Olam Abba. There's simply no Makor. Every place where the Rambam says it, you could prove Minei Ubei is talking about Mezid. He'll talk about Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah. That's also talking about Mezid. I could prove it because in Hilchos Shechita, when he references it, he says that's talking about Mezid, not Tinok Shenishba. So every place where the Rambam says it, he's talking about Mezid. Now, you'll ask me, okay, but how do you know he gets Olam Haba? Okay, maybe Tinok Shenishba means that you don't kill him right away, right? Because you hope to be Makariv him. But how could he get Olam Haba? So that's a tricky point. The Rambam does not say anywhere explicitly that someone gets Olam Haba. But he also doesn't say explicitly that he doesn't. There might be some proofs that could be offered one way or the other, but this is very unclear. Another very difficult point, according to this Mahalich, though I very much think highly of this Mahalich, but something that has to be worked out is, so what, I don't understand. We know that someone who's a kofir b'mezid, so he has no chelek and all of haba. But what does it mean to be kofir b'mezid? Right? The kofir b'mezid also has the wrong beliefs. It's not, he searched and he came to the wrong position. So why, what's the difference between a shogeg and a mezid and an ones? Right? Bishlama by Averos, I could understand that. But when it comes to the basic Ikari Amuna. So I think probably the answer to that would be that it depends on his motivation. Someone who goes ahead and says, I believe in the Torah, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebalpeh, I believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, I just think that the Torah's conception of Ribono Shel Olam is that he has a body, so that's considered ones, even according to the Rambam. The Rambam might not even disagree with the Ravid, or if they do disagree, it's something more subtle. Whereas someone who says, no, I thought about the matter and considered the matter and concluded that Rachman al-Atzlan, the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna are wrong. Not that I believe in the Torah and this is the Torah's position, but I don't believe in the Torah. Rachman al-Atzlan. So that's clearly mazid. That such a person clearly has no chelek in Olam Haba. And proof to this could be found from the Rambam's position himself in a number of places. Whenever he talks about Avodah Zarah and B'mezid and Kfir B'mezid, he talks about, for example, in Mor Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, Perk Mem Aleph, which is on the eighth page, different categories of Avaryanim. In this parak, he talks about four categories of Avaryanim. One who sins involuntarily, right? One who sins out of ignorance, one who sins knowingly, but what we would say mezid l'te'avon, and then the fourth category is someone who sins presumptuously, what we call lahachas. And he says that avodah zarah is in this category, right? Elam epneishu hu misnaged l'torah hu miskomem negdo l'fikach amar alav es Hashem hu megadef hu nerag b'li safek v'davar zeh lo asa'uhu elam mito chashkafa she nizgav shalol his komeim ba neged haTorah. In other words, he's rebelling against the Torah, and that's why he's treated so harshly. It's lahachas. He's fighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says avodah zarah therefore falls into the category, and he thinks even any avera that's done lahachas also in l'chil kolam haba. But one second, even avodah zarah shayach shogeg. So what's the difference between shogeg and mezid l'gavei avodah zarah? Someone goes ahead and says that I don't think this is what the Torah asserted, but I think this is mutter according to the Torah. I think this is a mitzvah according to the Torah. So then we'll say shogeg, omer mutter shogeg, or something like that. Mashein kain, someone who's kofer. And a proof for this might be found from the Rambam's translation of the word apikores in that Mishnah. Most people translate apikores as referring to Epicurus. But the Rambam says apikores is lashon hefker. Bazilzel b'toro b'chachmei haTorah. In other words, someone who does it lezalzel, like he says, someone who is miskomim kenegda, that's the person who has eilo chelek olam haba. He always talks about it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, right? Who is the person, who is a min? Hatarim achar machshevos libam besichlus bedvarim she'amarnu ad shenimtzu ovrim al gufei Torah lahachis b'shat nefesh. Who is the person who has no chelek in olam haba? Someone who does it lahachis. Someone who does it b'shat nefesh, that's a min. A min is someone who does it b'shat nefesh, who does it lahachis. But someone who goes ahead and simply comes to those conclusions because they misunderstand the Torah. How could we say that such a person is doing it lahachis b'shat nefesh b'yad ramah? The only person, he writes it, doesn't have a chelek olam haba, someone who does it lahachis b'shat nefesh b'yad ramah. And therefore, conceivably then, though it's much more difficult perhaps, like the Rambam says, because he should have paid attention when he did Shnayim Mikra, but at least it's still true that such a person is only considered a kofer when it's lahachis, when it's b'shat nefesh, when that's the type of mummer that he is. And if so, so at least theoretically, perhaps not practically, but at least theoretically, one could be considered ones even in any of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, the direct, diametrical opposite of Reb Chaim. All right, Shkayach, may we all be zolcha to not make any mistakes in our emunah.
In other words,
but he's
that implies some kind of behavior.